Synthaholics, it's the Rad Tribal Podcast.
Podcast. This week, Aaron and I have a special surprise guest with us.
Yay!
Yeah. You've never heard of him, and it's going to be so exciting to have him here. Aaron, why don't you tell them who our guest is?
Our guest, very special for you, is David Duncan. Say hello, David.
Listen back! It's a Jar Jar Binks. This is the humble servant. I'm just gonna cut the peanut, guys.
Okay, let's get him off the show.
Yeah, go away now.
Where's the hook? The hook is coming.
We were not expecting David to join us this week, but he surprise called us, and so here we are.
Surprise!
Surprise!
Ow, my balls!
Ow, my balls.
Oh.
Ow, my balls.
I also just rewatched Idiocracy the other day, so Ow, my balls is a staple of that film.
That's great. Nice.
So to come, you know, that's our future. So this week we are discussing The Conundrum, which is The Next Generation, Season 5, Episode 14. And just before we get started, we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about how where you can find us. And Obviously you have found us if you are listening to this podcast. But we do have a Facebook group that you can come and join the conversation. It's the Synthaholics Podcast on Facebook. And if you would like to donate to our Patreon is www.patreon.com/Synthaholics. You can also tweet us on the Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. Aaron is Blackbird 2004. David is David_J_Duncan. And I am a Lunathistle. I don't tweet very often, but feel free to
So is
the present tense of teaches, if the past tense of teaches taught, is the past tense of tweet taught?
Twit.
Oh my god. Twit.
Might be twit.
Twit. You twit. We got some news just the other day that the Picard show is a wrap.
It's a wrap.
They have finished filming for the first season of Picard, season one. So now it's all gone into post-production now.
Yay! Bravo! Yay.
Add the special effects, then we can get a real trailer with real things to see.
Yeah, yeah, that's it's exciting. We know that Riker's going to be back with Deanna Troi. Riker made a little comment that he was nervous about playing Riker again because he hasn't played the character in 18 years. So
you mean he hasn't had sex in 18 years?
Whew, it's a long time.
A long time.
He hasn't had sex on screen in 18 years. He's been directing people having sex on screen, so he should know what he's doing if he's been directing it.
More grunting.
Oh, God.
Come harder. Come fast. Wait, no.
Good.
He just does. He does porno now. That's
right,
all he does.
Right. He's got to have an alias for that.
It's Tom Riker.
Tom Riker. There you go. Nice. Nicely played, sir.
Is there a porn director named Tom Riker that I don't know about?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to search that up.
Yeah, I don't really want to know. Don't tell me.
No, yeah.
Mr. Google.
It's all furry porn.
Yeah. Oh, I bet there is. Oh my
anyway.
Anyways, moving on. Yeah, so we're talking again. We're going still on the theme of Picard. We're looking at episodes that we thought kind of defined Picard. In this week, we're going to be talking about the episode Conundrum. As Holly said before, Conundrum is a great episode because we kind of get Picard without his past.
Yes.
And who he is, even without knowing everything that, you know, he knows and all the experience he can draw from. So
Yeah, unjaded, unhitched with all of that bad juju. He has no idea what happened.
The baggage is gone.
Yes. So I was excited because I wanted to see how he was without the knowledge of what he had done and become, and see how it compared to the way he acts in other situations. And I was not surprised. He's the same Picard. So.
Yeah, you're reassured that this is the guy.
Reassured, actually. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Hal, you brought up a interesting thing before Dave came on. Maybe we just throw it out. If you have any ideas, you can either on the Facebook group page or what have you, tweet at us. If you had your memories wiped and you just nothing to hold you back, whatever, what do you think you'd do? Would you be the same person?
You know, so cool.
What trouble would you get yourself into, as we see? So it's interesting. So, let's get into the episode, cause this is a fun episode anyways. Mm-hmm. It's not just about Picard. I'm going to do a quick breakdown, but I mean, we can chime in at any of the stuff if we want to. But I'll touch on the main points, I suppose. So as Holly said, season 5, episode 14, and first aired February
17th, 1992.
2092? It's a long time in the future. So, we get to the very beginning. Data is playing Deanna Troi, over some 3D chess, and Deanna Troi beats Data, surprisingly, and they have a bet that she's going to get him a certain drink. So we see that in the very beginning.
Data next melts down immediately.
It's called a Sumerian Sunset, Dave. So that's you work on that, fixing that drink.
Yeah, I gotta figure out that one.
Yeah.
Looks interesting. Next scene, we have Beverly is tending to a young diver who hurt herself cliff diving on the holodeck. And then we get another scene where Commander Riker and Ensign Ro are walking down the hallway and they're having an argument about how she piloted a shuttlecraft, I think.
And didn't ask his permission for some decision she made or... So.
Yes, and so they're at odds as usual. And when the Enterprise comes, gets a small vessel comes up to it, unknown origin, and Picard's like, "Well, let's Worf's like, let's raise seals," and Picard's like, "No, let's play this different. Yeah, let's talk to these people." And they scan
that thing I put on our Facebook group: Worf solutions and Starfleet answers.
Oh, I know, that giant freaking like bullet in the handgun. That was perfect. So during the ship starts scanning the Enterprise, but the scan is so strong it actually starts wiping the computers out, and then all of a sudden the scan goes over everybody.
It's a flash of green.
And they all like lose their memory. And they forget who they are as their identity. So that's the very beginning. We get the intro, and then we're back on the bridge, and they're all like standing up looking at each other. But with one exception, there is somebody that we've never seen before, Commander McDuff. And obviously we know this whole time that this guy, who's this guy? Because we know the bridge crew, and this guy doesn't belong here.
Right.
But they don't know each other. So... nobody knows who they
like
are.
He's like second in command.
Yes, he put himself just enough to try to swing things if he has to. So while they're trying to figure out, they're going through.
Gives Riker lots more time to score.
Oh yes, and he does, and he does.
Do you think Jonathan Frakes did this on purpose?
Probably, he probably did. This is going to be a fun episode.
Oh, I can't wait. So they're all trying to figure out what they're doing. And then even Riker suggests that Picard might be the leader of this ship because he has four pips on his shoulder, or on his collar. But where Worf says,
"Now wait a second. Well.
I've got this fancy thing across my chest. You think I'm the leader?
I'm the leader. Yeah, exactly.
See my bullet? I can't even fit it in my gun. They issued me this gun that doesn't fit the bullets I've got.
I got the biggest forehead. I can headbutt everyone here.
Hmm. You want to ride my face, Picard?
Brandon, it's a scrotal massage. I really want to know your train of thought that took you there.
It's a scrotal massage.
So strangely enough, as they're trying to figure out who they are, we go. Crusher is in sick bay, but she's there trying to figure out who she is. But they all seem to have the institutional knowledge of their skills. Like mm-hmm. they haven't lost that. They know how to work a computer.
My scalpel doesn't work. That's a hypo spray.
Oh shit! I just cut your finger off. Ensign Roe knows how to work, fly the ship. You know, they still know how to use their computers. Worf can read the tactical display. So
this says boom.
This says blow everything up. So they're working on just kind of like picking up the scraps of what they know and
who they are or what they're doing there.
Yeah, right. Strangely enough, the computer, a lot of the stuff, the computer's not working either. They can't use navigation. They can't use any communication. They can't fly the ship or go to warp.
Then how does she know she can fly the ship?
She understands. She remembers, but the helm's not responding. So that's true. She could just pretend that she knows.
She's lying. She's a Bajoran. Bajorans aren't the most truthful of people.
Come on. Let's be nice.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be racist.
Hashtag
Cardassia forever.
Cardassia forever. So now they're all trying to figure out who they are and what their mission of the ship is and all that stuff. So they have no memory whatsoever of anything, and they can't even pull it up on the computer. They can't even pull up personnel files right now. So they're trying to figure all that.
They can't even be the mirrored universe people reading about their mirror universe selves.
That's right. That's right. So while they're working on that, Riker and Ro are going through the ship and they're trying to kind of like make contact with all the different groups that are still like they go to 10 forward and they go to, engineering, and they're just trying to like make contact with everybody on the ship and make sure everyone's okay.
Anybody knows what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. And to, kind of like maybe reassure everybody that everything will be okay. Yeah. During that time, of course, Ro definitely hits on Riker a couple times.
If you show up in a man's cabin, that's on you.
That's on you.
That wasn't Riker advancing. That was
I got the space
pure
rubbers.
Seduction. Space rubbers. I sure hope they used space rubbers.
Rib for his, her, or its pleasure.
See, Worf's face is the space condom. It's ribbed for her and his pleasure, I suppose.
He just puts on a huge latex mask.
Worf. Anyways. Worf condoms.
Oh, boy. All right, so
I'm glad I did not catch what you just said.
Okay, yes, let's move on. So, LaForge gets some of the ship's computer information, and the one thing we find out, which is pretty funny during this whole time, is Worf
still has no game.
Worf assumes he's in command, and so he's sitting on the captain's chair. He's in the captain's ready room. He's given orders, and meanwhile, and he's hell bent on getting the weapons online and getting the ship up and running. It's just in case they're attacked, mm-hmm. or if they have to attack. Meanwhile, Picard's like, "What's our purpose here? What do we need to do? Is everyone all right?"
This needs to be
priority. Yeah, yeah. And Worf's like, "Nope, gotta arm the phasers, arm the photon torpedoes, make sure the ship's engines are working." Which, you know, yes, he's right. Those are important, but there's other things too. Yes. Do the toilets work?
In Worf's room. He's been eating gah.
Oh, that toilet. So, when they finally pull up the personnel for the commanding crew, we get everyone's credentials. And Worf finds out that he is only chief of security and not captain.
I liked that he was last to be read off.
I know, he's like,
ugh. Well, I didn't like it. I felt for him, but it was funny.
He was like, you could just felt like all
the bravado drained out of him.
Just sucks. Like, just he took a balloon and just blew all the air out. Yeah. And we do find out that this interlooper that we have here, Commander Karen McDuff, is the ship's first officer, and Riker is now second officer. So again,
Data's been downgraded again. He lost Data, the chest, and now he's third officer.
Well, even before that, Data was serving drinks at 10 Forward.
Because he has no idea he's not a bartender, because he was making the sunrise drink when his mind was erased.
Yeah, he just assumed he was a drink maker at the freaking 10 Forward. He's doing the whole cocktail, shaking the thing.
Making, I want a Data special.
Making martinis. Yeah.
I'm fully functional for your pleasure.
No, want the alcohol, please. Thanks.
Just the alcohol. That's great. I bet he would make some mean drinks, too. Right? You know he would.
Right?
And obviously they find out that, Troy, which is down with him, and 10 Forward is the ship's counselor as well. So, they get more and more information. The weapons have been put online. Some of the engines are working, and communications within the ship are working, but they still can't communicate to anybody else. But they do find out they have some orders. They say basically that they are at war with these Licinians.
Which we know to be false.
Yes, the Licinians are their mortal enemies, and they've been at war for years with Licinians, and they have a weapon that can cause total memory loss, and that's one of the ways. And then they take advantage of a ship, and then they enslave them or imprison them or something to that nature. And they're like, well, that's what happened to us. That's why we can't think of, like, we can't remember anything. So they find out that their order was to set course to the Licinian command center, and they're to destroy it. And I guess their mission was the whole linchpin of this war. And once they take this out, a bunch of other things are going to happen. So they find out what the coordinates are, and they start flying towards it. During this whole time, Troy is like, I don't know. It just seems wrong. It's like, why would we be going to war with these people? We don't even know what they did. We don't know anything about them. And Riker's kind of like, yeah, war sucks, but, you know, if that's what we're at, we got to deal with it. You know, it's not, you don't have to like it to be at war. And, of course, we find out also Riker, when he goes to his quarters, he finds Ro waiting for him, as we said, and, they get it on.
Yes, and it bugged me because, not because I knew, you know, the whole situation, but because moments before and earlier in the episode, Riker and Deanna, like, Deanna was like, very open about,
I feel something.
There is something between us, and maybe, you know, she wasn't like, maybe you should consider that before you go stick it between those two poles, but but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The Imzadi bond is strong, but not strong enough.
It's curious, because now it's like, you know, we're all looking at Picard.
He knows he's a player. He knows he's got to get his dick wet in as many pools as he can.
Dog's got a hunt,
and I think he was enjoying this because he didn't know who he belonged to. Because he had this beautiful woman who was like, I'm pretty sure there's something here. And he taunts her with the book, and he's like, oh, read it. And so, like, he knows there's something, but he still fucking...
Well, you know.
Anyway...
I think you're given a free pass if you don't remember anything.
I don't know about that.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Well, the first time, all he knew was that Troy told him that he felt there was a connection between them.
Right. That one I could understand.
But then the second time, when she's talking, she has the book Ode to Psyche, and
he had the book by John Keats. Yeah.
He had the book, and it was a gift, you know, with love, you know, from Troy. And so they're like, you know, like they realizing they have a moment there. Like, oh, we there's something between us. And then Ro shows up and is like, interrupting anything?
Bye.
No, no. All right, well, I'll see you later.
Define interrupting something.
Oh, my gosh.
Free love in space. You both can take a ride on the Riker machine. I mean, the machine.
To be fair, Riker and Troy have this very strange relationship. I mean, Riker gave up their relationship to be, get into the command program and to become a commander and hopefully someday a captain.
And she stalked him across all his commands.
She did stalk him, but then she wound up dating Worf for a while. You know, I mean, like
later on.
It's a weird relationship. I mean, they do marry later on.
She gets fucked by a little light thing that makes her pregnant and spit out a baby in like 20 minutes.
That was before this episode, though.
Oh yeah. She gets betrothed to some other guy also before this episode. So she's
just saying they don't have a clear relationship. It's not like they are definitely not dating, but they're very close. Mm. So it's very difficult for me to be like, it's sort of like Roddenberry's idea of what a relationship should be. I don't know if I agree with it. Cause he was definitely in for the free love side of things. Obviously he cheated on his first wife to get with, Michelle Barrett who, plays Deanna's mom.
He cheated on her a bunch too. So like, it's just,
yeah, he sort of, he was like, how can I make a character like me, but more dashing?
the character of Riker, Picard, and Wesley are all parts of Roddenberry. Picard is the look to the future, the great ideas Roddenberry had. Riker is the horniness of Roddenberry, and Wesley's the youthful, daydreamy part of him, and that's why people hated on Wesley, because these three characters were all supposed to represent him in different ways.
Hilarious.
Okay.
Did he ruin Star Trek for you?
No. I'm just curious why people hate Wesley.
He's stupid and annoying. I can't stand his face and his rainbow shirt and panties.
Well, panties? You know what his panties look like.
Everything's the same what he wears. It's gotta match.
It's rainbow. It's rainbow.
And his mom dresses him, of course. So.
I never had a problem with Wesley, actually.
I love Will Wheaton. I just don't like Wesley.
No, I think Wesley was fine. I mean, there's other characters I hate way more than Wesley. Neelix. Anyways, let's get back to this. So, Crusher has a possible solution to their missing memories, and that she has that she could restore the crew's memories. But
if we go to the transporter and just rematerialize the way we were before,
you know, so many things could be actually fixed by that. You know that
they forget a lot in Star Trek.
Yeah. Even when someone dies, you can just restore that person from the last time they beamed.
Exactly.
Really?
That shouldn't be a thing anymore. Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, theoretically, you should be able to, because transporting kills you and reassembles you every single time, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the Commander McDuff, our stranger, who's in second command, decides that he will, volunteer for this risky medical procedure, but apparently it doesn't work for him, and he starts convulsing or has seizures. And then when Dr. Crusher decides to, shut off the experiment, he kind of like smiles like, I got them. Also during this time, they run into a small destroyer of the Lysinians, and they just wipe it out in a second. It just blows up. It doesn't have any of the firepower necessary to even attack the Enterprise. And Picard starts wondering, what am I doing fighting these people? Like they can't even hold up against us. And then he calls a meeting with McDuff and basically saying, it's like me giving me a gun and going to a room and told to kill the stranger and not knowing why to kill him. And he says, I can't do it. And then McDuff's like, but we have orders and people are depending on us. And so Picard's sort of like, maybe. But, you know, he's definitely, he's worried about the situation.
I'm not going to drink the flavor aid.
McDuff then has a meeting with Worf, basically saying, you and I are obviously much more warrior-alike. We're much more aggressive than the others. The captain is a bit of a diplomat. Obviously,
wrestling room.
Put on that latex mask you put on. He says, during that splits, we might need a split second decision, one to attack. And if Picard hesitates, we have to kind of take over. So this is like a mutiny kind of idea going on here. So he's seeding that. So when they get to, they get to the Lycinian, like the area where the central command is, these little sentry, fighter pods attack them, but Enterprise just blows through them like tissue paper. And, they have like, basically they figure out it's only take one photon torpedo to blow this place up. They're not at all equipped to take them on. And when, Picard asks Data how many people are on that, that's command center, he said 15,000. And Picard's like, I just can't do it. And, this is when McDuff says that he has to destroy the station, and Picard says, you know, just won't do it. And then he tries to get Worf to spring into action and to blow this station up, and Worf decides he's not going to do it either. And McDuff he knocks Worf over, just throws him across the room. And then Riker somehow has a phaser on his side, which is kind of odd. And he fires on McDuff, and then we get to see that McDuff's not human. There's something else going on. There's some kind of like cloaking
magma
thing
bones.
Look human. Yeah, magma bones. Old magma bones McDuff, eh?
Hey, it's a Pokemon. He's a Magmar.
Magmar. After McDuff's basically knocked out or subdued, later on, Crusher works on restoring their memory, and McDuff is, they figure out that he's a race called the Satarian, and they've been at war with the Lycinians for quite a while, and this was a plot tried to destroy the Lycinians, and this was a way they were going to do it. So, next we get Riker come to 10 forward, and he sees Troy and Ro are talking, and he's like, oh shit, I got to face this, don't I? And then,
let's just go back to my room for a threesome. That way it's fair.
Come on, guys.
It's fair. Let's
be bygones, be bygones. You know, we didn't know what we were doing, you know.
I've got a strap on for you, Ro, because we know you like it rough.
Ro says that this obviously is a memory that we will both treasure. And Troy says that such actions are a result of unconscious desires. So it's like, oh, so. And then, Riker says, well, yeah, we need to talk about that. He says, if you're confused tomorrow, you know where my office is. And then she walks out.
Serves him right.
She and wants to get him on his couch. The couch.
I don't think so. I think he's going to be sleeping on the couch for a while.
Exactly.
So, that wraps it up.
I love how the Lycinian Starbase is the same Starbase thing from the Ito episode.
And yes,
it was just a godlike race that drifted between dimensions. How'd they get so backward so quick?
Maybe this is their mirror universe.
Oh, no.
Dave, since you are on this episode as a surprise, we'll let you go first. First takeaways of Picard and anything else you want to say about the episode Conundrum.
Well, Picard is a diplomat through and through. He remembers his training. I guess like everyone kind of remember their training, so apparently he went to lots of diplomat school.
Is it training or is it just his moral core that he just doesn't follow orders blindly?
I mean, it's probably a little bit of both, because, I mean, their personalities, or, I mean, at least their memories of, like, who they were wiped out completely, so, but they do remember all their technical skills, and diplomacy is a skill. I'm sure some people are better at it than others just naturally by the gift of gab or whatever, but there's definitely some training that's there that comes through, I would.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely some things that people learn either in, like you said, diplomacy or business, you know, how to talk to people, how to get people to see things your way or to get them on your side. I mean, there's different social things that you can do to get people, you know, to be a little different.
And, like, you know, I think this backs up a little bit more kind of what I was saying last week with the drumhead, where he's just, like, he just takes things with such grace, and he's very, he kind of takes it as they come, but he's so calm about how he handles everything. He never really, like, raises his voice or gets upset, and he just is very good at controlling the situation, very calm and level-headed, unlike Worf.
I don't know. I can think of some instances where I remember Patrick Stewart quite yelly.
Yes,
he does get he does at times. Yeah, for sure.
Really, he gets yelly in the movies.
I mean, I think it's. I'm sure we could find a few, but this is definitely one of those times where we definitely see his core.
Oh yeah, and his memory stripped away. He's still the best of the best that Q hopes we could aspire to. Or that Picard believes humanity can aspire to, although it only seems like Picard is that truly good.
I think I think a lot of the crew actually is. I mean, even Riker with his philandering, he definitely he's a decent person deep down.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they are, but I mean, like, you look at Sisko, he's not the greatest of person. O'Brien's deeply racist. Every single admiral, hashtag the Cardassians didn't do it. Every single admiral in Star Trek is some sort of secret asshole or not so secret asshole. Right. It's just like Picard and his crew are like the gems that stick out, and everyone else seems sort of dubious in the future. So Q might have been right. Who knows? I mean, it'd be nice to see more ships, and I really hope future Star Trek series will be more on a global scale and not just a single ship scale, so we could see how people are. I mean, if you remember the Valiant and the Deep Space Nine, the sister ship of the Defiant, that was crewed by a bunch of hot-headed teenage assholes.
Well, of course,
on a pleasure cruise to try to take out the Cardassians and the Dominion. It was, I don't know, it's just everyone not Patrick Stewart's crew is kind of like not great. I mean, I love Sisko. He's great, but he's definitely way more shades of gray.
Sisko always reminded me as, like, he was a guy who was probably not going to stay in Starfleet very long, but because of the situation between the Cardassians and the Bajoran homeworld, and then obviously the wormhole, he rise to occasion to become somebody totally different.
But the thing he was predestined to do all this stuff because he's a god!
Well, that's a different story. It's a different story because time is different. You could look at, if you look at like a character through the fourth dimension instead of, you know, like on top of or maybe even the fifth dimension, you know, probably that story had already played out. But at the time he had to make a decision to stay at Deep Space Nine. We see that all in Emissary, you know, part one and two. I mean, he decides to do all those things, decides to become better and better.
He does, but it's interesting. It's sort of like that Matrix conversation we had, like predestination versus, you know, free will. I mean, he did make all these decisions, but because he's part wormhole alien, he was sort of kind of predestined to do all this stuff because the wormhole alien saw it all happen. You know, so it's a little bit of both, and it's interesting in Star Trek that we can see that, although we're not talking about it, but it's just an interesting side note.
I just going on that, I'm going to take this way off the rails now. I just finished reading Arthur C. Clarke's book, Childhood's End, and it's basically kind of think of like the beginning of the movie Independence Day, where all these ships show up. and they don't know who they are, and there's this race, and they basically want to help humanity and fix humanity's all the problems so we don't kill each other anymore and all that stuff. But the aliens won't reveal themselves for the longest time, and then finally the aliens reveal themselves, and they are like, they technically look like the archetypical look of a devil. You know, they have the wings, the horns, and the pointy tails and everything. And everyone's like, whoa, what the hell? And there's like this deep, like psychological thing all through our history of that type of archetype of the devil, right? Mm-hmm. And we find out, as the book progresses, I won't give the whole book away, but, there's a reason, they say that time, we are our deep-seated memory and like fear of that typical devil look was based on that because of the events that were going to happen, because our subconscious or our mass subconscious memories of this echoed through time. So even before happened, we had that fear of them.
That's so crazy. I love that, like, that mass hysteria through group thought type thing. What are they called? It's in Supernatural. Where, like, if enough people believe in something, that...
Oh, it's a tulpa.
A tulpa, yeah. So a tulpa, yeah. So like, if enough people believe in a thing, even though it's not real, the collective real. Psychic unconsciousness of everyone makes it real because everyone believes in it.
Yeah, it's like the whole idea of a Slender Man, you know, like, yeah. Of people, enough people think about it and believe in it or dwell on it, that thing could become real. Obviously, this is all fantasy. I mean, maybe there's some truth to it. I don't know, but it's just interesting.
Well, they say that the minute, like, the last podcast on the left episodes about Men in Black is that they're tulpas because so many people believe in them. And they're always different because no one's thoughts on them are the same.
Right, right.
Which is super, I don't know, fascinating.
Interesting stuff. But anyways, that took it way off the rails.
Super,
but anyways,
off I just the rails.
I'm sorry. I just finished reading the novel. I started it and I just finished it when at the end of the vacation. So I was like, okay. Anything else you want to talk about this, Dave? About Picard or anything? Obviously,
I mean, Picard's great. He's just always the steadfast, amazing character. And I think, I really think in Picard, we're going to see him take a dark turn, because ever since the movies, he's been going on the more darker turn, where he's not as good and upright. And we know Patrick Stewart came to them, and he's like, we're not going to do the same Picard. So I'm assuming he's going to be a very different Picard from little snippets I've read, that Patrick Stewart wanted to do something different with this
show. Different,
but
doesn't mean he's going to go dark, though. Maybe he's a comedian.
Whatever you read, Dave, I want to be surprised. So please don't share it with me.
Well, this is a podcast. We have to talk about the things that are Star Trek.
Be as vague as you can. And then if you want to blog about what you read, please go ahead. But I personally, I want to figure everything out on my own.
I think he's going to be a comedian.
I mean, that is vague. I mean,
pro wrestler?
Yeah.
No, you didn't say anything just now that was bad. I'm just saying for the future. I just don't. If you do ever read something that is, you know, somebody spilled the beans. I personally.
But we're here to speculate, and even if someone
speculation,
spills the beans,
it doesn't
mean, just because someone quote unquote spills the beans doesn't mean it's true. Because rumors that quote unquote leak a lot of times end up not being true.
It could still, exactly, if it is true, it could ruin the experience for me. And that would suck, and that'd be on you.
You guys, yeah, you guys are on totally different opposite end of the spectrum of this kind of stuff, because Holly doesn't want any kind of reveals whatsoever until she actually sees the actual content. And Dave, you read everything beforehand, so.
But that's my job. We podcast on stuff. We have to talk about the stuff that is there to read, because that's new and exciting.
That is new and exciting, but that's not the way I experience it.
Well,
this is more off podcast.
Let's agree to disagree and let's move on. Holly, here we have What did you think of this episode, The Conundrum?
Well, I had a response to Dave, but I have been drinking Jameson for the last, like, 3 hours. So it's just something I just wanted to throw in there that I agree with you that, like, the crew of the Enterprise, they really are, like, shining examples of what people should be. And I think a big part of this episode that kind of mirrors that is Worf, because he thought that he was in charge because that's just his personality. He is a take charge kind of person, but he also exhibited humility when he realized he wasn't. And then McGuff came to him and suggested mutiny. Worf, like, he wasn't convinced that it was the right thing to do, but he wasn't convinced it was the wrong thing to do either. He mulled it over, and then in the heat of the moment, he was like, no, fuck you. My loyalty is to the captain. And so there is corruption. And the Enterprise was written to be, you know, the superheroes, the guys who were pure, or at least trying to do what was morally just.
Sure.
And so I really liked this episode because Picard is still the Picard we know and love. And it reminds us that he is mission driven, but he asks the big questions and he cares about others. And so I think that this is important to view before we go into Picard. And he has these same characteristics after his issues with the Borg. So it's a core, it's part of his core personality.
Yeah. That makes sense. It, you know, it's funny, just a couple thoughts, just what you said there. It's like, memories, not memories, but our experience sometimes jade us.
Mm-hmm.
I've known people in life, who's had some bad things happen to them one way or the other, and it kind of jaded them, and they're not the same person anymore. They aren't, maybe not as optimistic.
Right.
Maybe not as hopeful, maybe cynical. And those are hard shackles to throw off when you know, maybe you've been burned, you know, for the 20th time or something like that.
Right.
You know, hard in, you know, there's some people who are cynical with, like, you know, love. They think, like, you know, there's no good woman out there for me. There's no good man out there for me, that kind of thing. It's sad because their experiences have put them into that corner, you know. And obviously there's other things out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we all get there, obviously, one way or the other. And, you know, like, Picard has, unfortunately, been, ground down enough more than once. And maybe it changes him a bit. But at his core, what's redeeming about him, he's still the same person deep down. Like you said, he doesn't disappoint.
Yeah. And not to detract from the seriousness and the complete truth of what you're saying, a song that just popped in my head was Chumbawamba's
I Get Knocked Out.
Yeah. Well, never gonna get me down. I hope Picard sings that in the new series. That would be great.
That was the difference that we were going to talk about.
Picard will be
how he changed.
Picard will be a singer, songwriter in the new
series. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I didn't want to detract from because I really like what you just said, so I'm sorry, but it did pop in my head, and I was like, oh, I have to share this.
I'm glad you did. That's actually excellent.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to bring up to that?
Oh, he can sing with Shadan. They'll have a reunion tour.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Because the Klingon.
Because we need to see Patrick Stewart rapping.
Yes, with Shadan, the Klingon. Last week, Aaron, we were making fun of the Klingon who was like at the beginning of the episode who was like on trial because his name seems so un-Klingon.
Oh yeah.
So we called him a Klingon rapper.
That'd be awesome.
So he's like, yeah, it's like, you're damn right. Yeah, so,
you're damn right.
You're damn right, I'm a rapper.
I always want to start an R&B group called Touche, but it was spelled Tushy. So.
I will sing with you.
We got to be that total, like, in sync, boys to men kind of thing.
That would be so much fun.
Not to get entangled.
The only other thing I wanted to say was actually something that I thought of while, Dave, you were going over your, your last thoughts. Are we going to see Q in Picard?
God, I hope so. Great? I need John Delancey in my life.
In Star Trek. He's that weird dragon in My Little Pony.
Yes.
I forgot his name.
It's the Eye of the Pony. It's the Trail of One Bite.
Oh my god, I can hear
when my daughter watches
every single My Little Pony. I can hear every pony saying his name. Discord. Yeah. It's Discord. I'm so ashamed
I'm so ashamed that I blanked on it.
I love My Little Pony, okay?
Yeah.
I am 30.
There's some good episodes out there. No, I've watched it too with my daughter. There's some good episodes. Every episode's good, but there are better episodes.
And the voice actors are amazing.
Yeah, there's some funny stuff.
John Delancey.
John Delancey's on it. Maybe we'll see Q. I haven't heard that yet, but who knows?
I really hope so. Great. I'd love to see Q.
That's got to be their secret.
That would be a good secret to pop up.
It would actually be an awesome end of the season if he shows up, and then it's like the cliffhanger.
That would be great.
So that was the only thought that I had remaining. Aaron, I'm gonna say it. You've picked some excellent episodes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So what do you think?
I like this episode. Mostly because we get to see characters, as we've discussed, unshackled from their past, unshackled from social relationships that they had before. So we see Worf just take command.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the biggest, meanest guy tries to jump in charge just because, for whatever reason they think. But that's not always what makes a good commander.
Right.
As you were saying before, Picard, he wanted to assess everything, the well-being of the crew, he wanted to run a full diagnostic of the computers, and Picard's like, well, that's going to take everything offline. He says, yeah, but if we're going to go into any kind of combat, we have, our lives are at stake on this. We can't just take it up to chance.
What if the guns don't go pew?
Yeah. So, Picard's seeing a bigger picture where, like, someone like Worf is only seeing the narrowest version of the Enterprise. There's more, even if you are in a military situation, you still have to think of people under your command and what they need to accomplish what they're doing. So he just can't just go like, whatever, man, just shoot those damn guns, But anyways, that's what I thought was interesting. And secondly, I think, what's nice is that, Picard deep down, no matter what, is the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's who he is. You're never going to alter that with him. So, he has a moral, compass that can't be changed, and he's not going to, just because you give him an order, like we saw with, Data's daughter, Lol, when they order to they're going to take her away from Data. He's like, stand your ground, Data. We don't have to stand for this. And the Admiral's like, you could lose everything, your whole command. And, he's like, if that's what it takes, that's what I got to do.
Right.
It's great. And it's what you want out of anybody who, who's your, if it's your boss, if it's your commander, if it's, a parent or somebody, of authority. You want them, they're going to put everything on the line for you if they need to. And they're going to break the rules if they need to.
Right. And that's who I want, who's in command of something that my husband's attached to. You know what I mean?
Sure. That's the thing is like, it's sad to say that even in any kind of military situation, there have been orders that are, obviously the people who get in trouble are the lower ranking. It's never the generals often who ever get put in jail for some awful order that's been put down. And if like it's some war crime or something like that, it's like, well, you executed that order. You did it. You should have stand your ground and said no. So those issues do happen from time, not a lot.
We had So we've been tied to an unfortunate experience, an unfortunate training accident, actually. And basically what had happened was they didn't count the mortars properly. So they dropped two mortars in a chamber, and the chamber exploded and killed a bunch of Marines in a training exercise here in the States. And as far as I know, it wasn't that the round, it was just a counting issue. And that's not, so even in training, that is a very high risk situation. It's not safe. You're doing dangerous things. But because of that incident, you know, a higher up, I don't think they were at that range. But anyway, there was a quote unquote lack of confidence step down. So it happens both ways, you know?
Sure.
To what, yeah, you know, to like what you're saying. So like,
yeah, no. And but that's the thing is like, well, details matter, of course, and something like that sounds like, yeah, I mean, it's a very common thing. A lot of people glaze over things like, oh, I don't need to worry about that, you know, don't worry about that. And yeah, maybe you should, you know, and especially when dealing with mortars, I would say.
Yeah.
My thought is that, like, there's definitely, like, stories in, like, from the Vietnam War where they were ordered to do certain terrible things that
true.
Nobody should have given those orders, period. But obviously, the top brass was pushing on the lower, you know, ranks to do things to get things done, and they were going to get anything done possible. And you know, and
well,
those
it's different
people
now at least.
Yes, yeah, that was a different time. Obviously, that was the 1960s, 70s. You know, that was different. But you know, but the same idea is like, you know, Picard was given these, which were false orders, but he was like, why are we doing this? Like, I can't justify this. Yeah. You know, like these people are completely unarmed. This doesn't make any sense.
One thing I did write down that I forgot, I didn't circle it, so I forgot about it. was just that nobody fucking listened to Deanna. And, you know, I think she was listed as just ship's counselor, but she was a head of Worf. So, I mean,
she's technically number two on the ship.
You should technically be consulting her. And right. and nobody really took her seriously in this episode. And I thought that was a shame and a disservice to, you know, not just the mission. They didn't know what the mission was. But as a whole, it was just, you know, you have this person who can understand feelings and connections between people that nobody else has, and you're not, and I almost said exploiting, but you're not using that. You should be utilizing that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, for sure.
And she's telling you this is wrong. And ultimately at the end, she's like, this is wrong. And he's like, I will not, what did he say? Well, I do not fire on innocent people. And he still hadn't had his memory back yet.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's just what you want from that character is what you want from anybody, really.
What you want from a good leader.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's this is one of the reasons why, you know, we kind of picked this one, because I thought this kind of just gets at the very essence of him. Yes. Take away everything, all his experiences. So good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up. Obviously, this is an interesting episode. Definitely watch it if you haven't already. And tweet, like I said, again, tweet us or email us or send us a group thing. What you think you would do if you didn't have any of your memories? Like if you could just go unencumbered into the world.
Yeah. If you've got something that holds you back.
I don't know.
What would you do if you did not remember that particular?
I know what Dave would do.
What's that?
He would get alien rubbers.
Oh yeah, alien rubbers.
Alien rubbers.
Grab the alien rubbers.
Rib for his, face her, rubbers. Or its pleasure.
Its pleasure, yes. Rubbed for the couch's pleasure.
Well, what would you guys do?
I don't know. That's a very good question. I'd really have to think about that for a bit. I don't think I would be too much different. I think I would be a lot more open to people. I think I'm very guarded. It's a weird thing with me because I think when people come up to me, a lot of times I'm like, what the fuck does this guy want? Mm-hmm. You know, like it's more of just, it's a defense mechanism because I don't really hate people. It's just more of every time I get involved, people just see me and they think that I don't know if I'm an easy mark, especially when I used to live in the city. People just to come as like, you know, oh, my car broke down. I need $20 for a tow truck and blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, yeah, man, here you go. And after like the 16th time it happens, like, there's a lot of people need $20 for a tow truck, man. You know? And so you just kind of get like jaded. That mm-hmm. kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I'd be a lot different that way. I also think, I don't know. I don't know if I would do anything too crazy. It's all according, obviously, to the situation. But, you know, if you didn't have any memory of what you are, who you were. So, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think I'd be that much different. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to know, like, what, you know... If it's just based on like your education, like I don't know how much would stick, you know, as far as like the personality, because a lot of my personality isn't really from education; it's just from experience. And maybe if it's experience, maybe it would. I think I'd be the same, but who knows? I mean, like, you know, when you remove inhibitions and other things like that, you could be a completely different person. So I mean, it's hard to say, really.
Hmm. Mm. You know what I mean? Could see Holly being less tactful. I could see, because I can tell Holly sometimes is like, I'm going to be good about this. I'm not going to say anything right away.
I could see that happening. I wish that's how I was. honest to God, I feel like if I had lost any memory of who I was, I would not be capable of making this podcast with you guys. I've come a very long way with my anxiety, and it's a conscious choice that I overcome it daily. Mm-hmm. So I know that I would not function well in society if I haven't had all of the experiences that I have had. Sure. So hard. It's hard to say just because I feel like I would close myself off if I didn't know who I was. And
do you think, just real quick, do you think that anxiety is built in, or do you think that a part of you, or do you think that's something that you would lose too?
It's built in.
I mean, obviously you don't know, chicken or the egg kind of question.
Yeah, no, it's definitely built in. So I won't get into that because that's like a whole nother hour-long podcast. At the same time, everything that I have experienced in my life has given me the avenue to be able to be on a podcast with you guys and to... say fuck in public if I want.
Well, thank God for that.
Oh yeah,
and actually, and thank God actually that you know you've gotten your point to be on a podcast and you can feel that you can express yourself freely,
right.
And hopefully you know that continues to be that way and doesn't ever get shut down.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we do learn a lot, obviously. And to self-correct our problems and fix things, you know, that are thrown at us, either mentally, biologically, you know, people have handicaps they have to work with and they have to learn new ways of living with them. Those are all things that we all have to work with, you know?
Yeah.
Thankfully, everyone on the Enterprise crew don't have anything outstanding like that, at least that we know.
Except for Barclay.
Except for Barclay, yeah. Barclay is a different story, but yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I really
hope I didn't bore you all with my crazy anxiety.
No, that's good. I mean, that's a different side of it too. Is that, you know, if you erased your memories and you're stuck with something that, you know, you have to grapple with, you might
you'd have to start over.
Yeah, start all over, and maybe you don't have that all those same building blocks as you had before. Because when you're younger, you can bounce back a lot faster. Mm-hmm. When you're older, you're just like, nah, that's enough for me.
Right, right.
I don't want to get hit in the nuts anymore.
Ow, my balls.
Ow, my balls.
Well, As always, thanks so much for listening. We have so many places, Holly said before, to visit us. Dave, it's not called Apple iTunes anymore. What's it called that we that you rate and view us at?
Is it Apple Podcasts?
Apple Podcasts, but you know, Apple Podcasts, or yeah, there's other apps that you can probably.
We'll get back to you on that.
Rate and view us.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, when I signed up for it,
we'll be right back.
When I signed up for it, it was just iTunes, and like I haven't had to go through the sign up process ever again, so I don't know what they call it. But you know, there's Reddit and all sorts of other places so you can talk about us. And you know, like we said a couple months ago, Aaron actually found some people who said some very kind words about us on Reddit that were like one of the hidden gems of the Star Trek podcast world. So hopefully, more people can get on Reddit and talk about us.
Hopefully feel the same.
With a hidden gem. I hope so.
Polish those gems and then share them with everyone.
Yes.
Donate them to the Patreon at patreon.com/centaholics.com.
That's right. Again, if you have any ideas that you want to throw out, if your memories are erased, what you might do, what might happen, feel free to share it to us. You know, if we get enough interesting ones, we'll share them in the next episode. That would be fun to do.
That would be so cool.
So tweet us at Synthaholics Duo. You can email us at Synthaholics at... I'm sorry, was it Yahoo?
Synthaholics at Yahoo.com, yes.
And you can obviously just message us in the group. And that'd be great, too, on Facebook. So that'd be awesome. So
yeah.
That's all fun stuff to do. And, you know, if you do have a little cash to throw our way, Patreon / Synthaholics is a great way to support us. And if you can't do that, as we always say, hey, just tell people you know about the podcast. If it's through social media, sharing the podcast, or just telling somebody at work, telling, you know, a school. If people are going back to school these days.
That's true.
Let them know. Let them know. Say, hey, you know, you like podcasts? Check out these guys.
Absolutely. Hope you like it. Hope they'll like it too.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, guys. On to the next one. Right. Next episode, if everything goes right, it will be Inner Light.
Yes. Ooh. Watch it so that we can all be on the same page next week.
Share the joy.
Kumbaya, the inner
my
light.
My lord. Break out your flutes.
I have a flute.
Do you? You should get it on for this one, the next episode.
One year at summer camp, I stuck my flute like...
No, didn't do that.
Thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
We did it.
That was fun. Yay. Thanks for being on the show, David.
Yeah, thanks. Cool. It's great being a guest on the show. I really appreciate it, guys.
It's great stuff.
I was hoping, I was thinking if I introduced me as a Tiny Tim.
Tiny
Michael
Tim.
That's what
Tiny
I was like.
Tiny Kine.
Michael Kine, a Tiny Tim.
The only only thing I can actually do is, what's his name? Cleveland Brown.
You do it so good.
Yeah, I gotta work on that. I was getting a good Bernie Sanders thing going for a while, but I kind of fell out of it. I gotta practice it more.
Let's hear your Bernie Sanders. I don't think I've ever heard you do Bernie Sanders.
I have to work. I had it for like a week, and then I stopped doing it, and then I got like, and now I do. I just sound like a stupid version of talking like an old Jewish guy. So, I gotta work on it.
You don't look Jewish.
I just like to quote movies. Sometimes when I say things, I hope you guys get it and nobody laughs, and then I'm like, oh, they must not have seen that movie.
Sometimes oops. I don't know. But that's Dave does the same thing to me once in a while. He'll say something I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Well, that's normal for Dave.
Yeah.
What's normal for me?
To bring things up that we don't know what you're talking about.
Because I speak in tongues on the podcast.
Speak in tongues. Oh my god. Good stuff. Or what about like a whoopee cushion?
For his hands?
For my hands?
Yeah. I don't know. It'd just be hilarious to have a whoopee cushion.
Well, the thing is, like, I do flick. I have a little like it's like a mini carabiner on my my lanyard. And mm-hmm. I flick it open, and it, like, goes past where it's supposed to go, so I have to push it back in and flick it up, and I'm sure that's annoying. Crochet doesn't make any noise. I just really want to do my crochet again. I miss it.
But the clicking of those needles.
Oh, it's a crochet is a single needle. There's no clicking.
Oh, okay.
Everything else is in my hand. I made Holly two pretty tops.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Send them to her. Cool. Those were like the last things I made.
I never finished my cod piece.
You need a cod piece.
You want a crocheted cod piece? Okay, man.
No, I really don't want one.
Did you get to film yourself running around naked in the woods since you were down in Allegheny? That's like for a Patreon thing?
Yeah, well, you weren't there to tape it.
Dave was really excited and hopeful for this.
Yeah, oh, okay. We mentioned it on the show. It's like, oh, maybe he's filming this Patreon tease he's been teasing for such a long time.
For 4 years.
Yeah. Speaking of cod pieces and Picard, so in the episode where he was assimilated,
he has a cod piece.
He does.
Borgs are all about the cod pieces.
That's such a weird thing to say, and I'm so sorry.
Mm-bop.
Dop, dop, doo-bop. Yeah. Do-bop. Do-bop. Do-bop.
Praise the Lord. No rhythm.
Did you ever see Steve Martin movies, The Jerk?
No, I did not.
Dave would love it. I mean, Holly, I'm sure you'd love it too. But Dave, he's a white guy, and he's raised by black people. And he doesn't understand why he doesn't have any rhythm. And then the one moment, finally his mom tells him, you know, you were adopted. You know, you're not, you know, you weren't born from us. And he goes, you mean I'm going to stay this color? It's the funniest movie. You really got to see the movie. That's hilarious. It's worth renting. I mean, I think you probably can rent it on like YouTube or whatever. I have a longer torso, mm-hmm. but then I have shorter legs.
So. Speaking of Bernie Sanders,
does he have a long torso and short?
What did
legs?
You just say? Oh, you sent me a picture of Bernie Sanders playing the flute from Inner Light. Yeah.
Oh God. Well. My torso is so short, Aaron, that my ribs almost touch my hips.
She can make your ribs touch your hips.
Sometimes they get stuck, and it fucking hurts.
Adam asked for his rib back, Holly.
he can have it. It would make things
you can have
simpler.
It.
Kaylee has a very long torso. I remember at your house, you both like pulled up your shirts a little bit, and were like, "These are hips. And these are
our
ribs."
Our legs are the same fucking length. She's like 5'4", I'm 5'1". And our legs are the same fucking length.
It's funny. It's funny when you get... people are like... what you don't have, people are always like, you know, oh, I wish I had longer legs. I wish I had...
Wish I had big boobs. I wish I had curly hair. But...
Oh. Wish I had big boobs, too.
I wish I had huge pectoral muscles.
She has wonderful muscles.
Yeah, wonderful. Yes,
for our female listeners out there, I just want to say I think small boobs are lovely, and I wish I had them.
I like small boobs. I like big boobs. I like medium-sized boobs.
David
boobs.
Likes every boob.
Boobs.
Dave I'm likes equal all boober, boobs.
Equal boobertunity.
Equal opportunity.
Equal opportunity boob.
He's an equal boobertunity.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking for a while. Equal opportunity.
It's got to be equal boobertubitus.
Equal
titter-tubitus.
Upper boobertus.
I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
Titter-tubitus.
Opportunity. Right.
Well, I am going to shut off this recording now.
Okay.
This is just getting silly.
Okay.
Synthaholics After Dark.